Hey, Rangini. Can you hear me? Hey, B, how are you, my dear?
I'm fabulous. How are you, honey?
I'm fabulous. I haven't looked at your website yet, but I will.
Okay.
Great. Good, good, good.
Just we're just up.
Good. I just saw that you just posted that. So who else is joining us today? Debbie.
Hey.
Hi, sweet Debbie. Thank you for coming. And I see Ranjini, I don't see you on video. Do you want to
Yeah,
hide?
I'm trying to connect that. Just a moment. Can you hear
Okay.
me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
And Debbie and Ashley, you're here too. Ashley, I don't see you on video. Are you hiding? Which you can if you want. No? Well, Ashley, I see you. Can you say something so we can hear you? Nothing. Well, Ashley, if you figure that out, let me know because I don't have you on mute. Let's just wait a few more minutes because I know there are four or five other people that wanted to join us. So we'll wait just a few to get going. MB, how is everything going?
I am fabulous. I'm likely to depart. If you hear a beeping in the background, I'm making a fresh pot of tea. So if I disappear briefly,
Tea is necessary. Excellent. I'm assuming people bring sandwiches and salads and stuff to munch on while we're at lunchtime, but maybe not. Debbie, you're in a different time zone, Deb. So what is it now for you?
I am. It's 3 o'clock.
Oh, so you're up for afternoon tea.
Yeah, well, I've got something right here.
Good, there you go.
Oh.
Ready to roll.
Good, good, good. And Ashley, I still can't see you or hear you, my dear. So if you're there,
Oh, it's not
can you hear me?
detecting a camera.
Oh, okay, but I can hear you now. So that's
Okay,
good.
good. I was
Yay.
having headphone issues there for a minute. I'm glad you can hear me.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
Elise, I might have to reboot my computer. It's not detecting a camera for some
Okay,
reason.
so I can wait a couple minutes for you to do that, or just
Yeah.
do it
Yeah.
fast and then
Thank you
come
so
back
much.
on.
Sorry about that.
Okay, yes, no
Thanks.
problem. So Deb, how is your program coming?
Oh, really good. Yeah,
Yeah?
this week is my session, and
Yes, good.
tomorrow is a webinar for my session.
Good.
And I got just maybe 2 more weeks of it, and then we're done.
Good. Are your tech woes behind you?
No.
Sort of a
No, they're
constant?
not. They're not, but
No.
that's okay.
Okay.
We're just
Well,
laughing it off and having a good time.
good, 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 good.
Yeah, no. If and when I do this again, I'll need to have somebody help me in the webinar part.
What are you using for webinar? What platform?
I'm using Zoom. Just for some reason, I'm having a hard time when people get on and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm sure it's a user error.
Oh,
Sure of it.
a doggy. All right. So Rangini's going to come back soon, I'm sure.
And I apologize. I'm going to have to log off early to go pick my kid up from school.
Well, you know what? Let me just get started. And you know, I'm recording this, and I'll send you a link to the recording for later. You can listen to it when you have more time.
That's
Okay?
perfect.
Excellent. So I'm going to get started. I'm going to show my screen. Show screen. Okay, can everybody see that?
Yep.
Okay, let me get in the right position. Yay! Okay, good. So, also, does everybody know that there is a chat area on the bottom of the screen that you can add questions to? But you know, there are only four or five of us, so I'm going to leave you all unmuted and you can just call out questions. I think that's easier than trying to hassle with the chat thing, if that's okay with everybody. Does that sound like a plan?
Plan
Okay.
sounds great.
Wait, now I'm getting too far ahead. All right. There we are. Here we are.
Sorry for
All
some
right.
pandas.
We're going to talk. This is my favorite presentation to give, and also it's best received. Chaos to Clarity, 8 Obstacles to Growth and How to Overcome Them. So let me know if you recognize any of these obstacles in your own business, in your life. First of all, welcome everybody. I know taking an hour on your day is a pain, but I'm really glad that you're here. I love doing these webinars. I try to do one once a month. Some of them are training, some of them are mindset issues, but I just love doing them. So I'm always glad when you can come. So welcome.
Thank you.
And then just, sorry?
Thank you very much.
Yes. So let's, there are only four of us here. So why don't you just one at a time, just tell me a little bit, tell us all about your name and your business and why you're here. Just quickie. How about I'll call on people. MB, why don't you start?
So MB, Deans, MB, sit down. I am ambidextrous. My name is Mary Beth, but I go by MB and Mary Beth. I am a writer, technical writer, content strategist, copywriter. And I'm here because I've known Elise a very long time and I have never had a conversation with her where I have not walked away smarter.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that nice to hear? Thanks, MB. And you just got your website out, so that's great. Debbie, tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing.
Well, I'm a writer. I write for kids, and I create curriculum for books that are new releases, work for authors and publishers, editors, whatever. So that's kind of my claim to fame, these teacher guides.
And you have hundreds of them, don't you?
I'm sorry?
Deb, you have hundreds of them, right?
I do. I probably have about 250 right now. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yep. And then I put together an online course, a book publicity course that is winding down. It's gone pretty good. Some of the participants want another one, so we'll see about that. But yeah.
You're doing all kinds of good things. Deb and I are in a mastermind together, so that's how we know each other.
Yeah. Out of my comfort zone completely all the time.
There's no better way to be. Who else is here? This is Rangini. Did you join us again?
Yes, I did, but something's up with my computer's camera.
So don't worry about the camera. Why don't you just tell us who you are and what you're doing here today?
Actually, I was extremely excited to meet everybody because I'm a digital journalist and a corporate storyteller. So I was super excited.
Oh.
Learn about Mary Beth and Debbie because writing and content creation is a big passion of mine and it's a great group. So I'm super excited to collaborate with everybody and I would love to stay in touch.
Excellent. Good. Ashley, are you still with us?
I am.
Yay!
Rangini, it's nice to hear your voice, even if I can't see your face.
Oh, thank you, same here, Ashley. Thank you.
So my name's Ashley Harris, and it sounds like this group has a lot of similarities. I am a co-founder of a company called Unified Stories, and what our team does
is... This is a great group.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Good.
We're a business-to-business organization, so we partner with companies who want to increase inclusivity in their workforce.
Oh, wonderful.
And we do that through the power of storytelling.
Oh, I love it. Excellent.
Did you plan this, Elise? This is amazing.
No, I didn't. I'm always delighted by whoever shows up, though, so I'm glad that you're all here. Thank you. Yeah. All right, so let's get going because some of these obstacles are just so fun. Mm-hmm. All right, I said welcome when we introduced ourselves. So this is for you if you're growing your business and some things are getting in your way, and who isn't prey to that? You need help identifying your business demons.
Right.
And you know what? I think I'll mute everybody after all so I can... who else? Unmute. I'm going to mute you, Rangini, because you weren't muted. Okay. So you need help identifying your business demons. Sometimes they're hard to pull out. And one of the things that I think we all recognize is that if you've been in business for a while, frequently what's been working up till now won't get you through the next stage of growth. So this especially happens with women who have gone through their first year of growth or maybe the first 2 years of growth, and suddenly their infrastructure just isn't supporting them and they feel like they're tearing their hair and going nuts. I'll tell you who I am in a minute, but these obstacles might be resonating for you and help you tease apart where you might want to start to do some work for yourself. Come on now. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me well, and most of you do, but I'm Elise Tager. I'm a business coach and consultant. I work with female entrepreneurs who've been in business for 2+ years, and I help them get to the next stage of their business. So I like to think of the visual I have for me is that it's like a Gordian knot, you know, and I help when you're in it, it's so hard to know how to unravel. Even if you are a coach, You can't coach yourself. And I really, I'm very good at strategy. I'm very good at helping people tease apart what's really going on for them. And so I help them unknot where they are and get on to that next stage of business. And so on a more formal basis, I work with high-performing entrepreneurs to scale to multiple six figures so they can get beyond that startup stage or that early stage where often people are okay on their own, but frequently you need help when you're going further on. I've been a serial entrepreneur. This is my fourth business, but I think this one is the most going to make me the most happy. But I've had four businesses in the past. I've been an entrepreneur for most of my life. I love that. And I think I have a lot to bring to the table for other entrepreneurs. I work only with women. So sorry, guys, but I can't help you at all. This is my family. The reason I show pictures of my family is because if you're an entrepreneur, you know that this is a family show, right? What you're doing with your business impacts Renee and me. It impacts your husband. It impacts everybody around you. And so you're all in it together, whether you know it or not. So this is my fabulous husband, Bruce, on the left-hand side. My daughter, Isabel, is now a baker, a professional baker in Boston. And my son, Sam, is a film student. He's now living at home with us. I'm so glad to have him here. But that's my cast of characters in my life. So just wanted to share them with you. And they all are living through my entrepreneurial stuff. So that's why I show you those folks. So why are we here? So I think I want to help you learn how to get out of your own way, right? A lot of the obstacles come out of our own heads. And one of the things that you get better with as you get older and you've been in business longer is recognizing where you've got stuff that's holding you up and learning how to get out of your own way. We're going to talk about solutions for grappling with the hard stuff, and we're going to talk about this whole concept of barriers, not walls. I think that's a really important concept. So in any aspect of business, you're going to come up against stuff that's just a huge obstacle. And if your mindset is such that you figure, this is just another issue that I just have to figure out, then you're more likely to find a solution. If you think of it as a wall that's going to stop you, you're going to let yourself get stuck. But really, the whole concept of having it be a barrier, not a wall, it will help you resolve a lot of the issues that you think are totally huge knots. So in working with, so again, a little background to me. Before I started the coaching business, I worked with Constant Contact for 5 years and was the California Hawaii Nevada director, represented the brand. I had a team of about 14 people working with me, and we presented the Constant Contact message and how to use social media and email marketing to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of entrepreneurs. And so I've been working in this entrepreneurial space, both myself and talking to entrepreneurs, for all that time. And now with my coaching, I'm finding that clients I work with I'm hearing some common themes. And this is why I want to put this presentation together, because these are the obstacles that I find come up again and again. So every business goes through stages, right? It's everything from a seed of an idea when you're standing in the shower, to startup, to increasing levels of maturity and growth. But each stage has its own challenges, right? It's not like, oof, I've got through that, now it's swimming easily. That never happens. You're never swimming. It's always full of challenges. But in those transition periods, things can get out of control, as I said, that idea of a knot. There are always periods where you have to be able to get a whole lot of resolution to a whole lot of problems to be able to get to the next stage. Who is this? I'm going to mute. There. Okay. And these are growing pains. My mom used to call them growing pains. And in business, we all have growing pains. So that's what we'll talk about today. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to go through all of these 8 obstacles, but for each of these, I'm going to give you a mindset shift that's going to help you, and then some tactics for how to overcome some of these obstacles. I hope this is helpful for you. I think I said in one of my emails out to you all, or maybe I just posted it online, but there's one of these obstacles that is common to everybody. Why am I not advancing? What happened? Now that's wrong. Sorry, guys, I have to go back. Technical difficulties. All right. So, imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome. This is when you feel like a fraud. Imposter syndrome rears its ugly head at every stage of business, no matter how successful you are. Everybody has this, whether you're Katy Perry or you're Arianna Huffington. We all go through periods where you can't believe you're doing what you're doing, or who am I to get up on the stage or speak, or who am I to be considered the expert in whatever it is. Everybody has this. And I will also say from my own experience, this comes up time and time and time again. The more risk you take in your business, the more opportunity for the imposter syndrome to come back up again, right? So Deb, you said that you were always out of your comfort zone. And so this is when imposter syndrome kicks in, is when you think, I've never done this before. Who do I think I am to be putting together a course? You know, and this is so common to all of us. And I think the best you can do here is to learn how to recognize it and to learn tactics for getting it to be a quieter voice. It's never going to go away. Or if you figured out how, let me know. But it's never going to go away. Learn how to deal with it so it's only a quiet little voice, not a big voice. And so some of the ways to think through this is some of the mindset shifts that have to happen. Everyone goes through this, right? That's the biggest one. And everyone starts from where they are, right? You got to start somewhere. Everyone started from the beginning. And your beginning might not be someone else's beginning, but everybody starts from where they are. So the mindset shift is just going to be everyone starts somewhere. I'm starting here, and that's okay. So that kind of might be help. But more tactics now about how to deal with mindset, with imposter syndrome. Identify what's shaking your confidence, right? It could be that you've stepped into something that's way outside your comfort zone. And you have technical fears, you have fears of being in an arena you haven't been before, or you're returning to and it isn't as familiar as it was. Try to identify for yourself what's making you feel insecure. And if you can put a name to it, or if you can identify what that issue or issues are, it makes it easier to get your arms around it. Other things to help with this is remember your real life value and what you have achieved. So go reread your testimonials, right? Go talk to people who think you're fabulous and let them tell you how fabulous you are. One of the things I started doing, which might be a tactical help for all of you, is the beginning of 2018, I started just a Word document on things I had accomplished. Everything from as silly as cleaning out the refrigerator to putting a presentation together in front of and presenting to 200 people. And I just line item by line item, I list the things that I've accomplished and that I'm proud of. And I go back and I add to it every time I do something, whether big or small, that makes me feel like I've accomplished something. When I'm feeling imposter syndrome come up again, I go back to that document and I just read it and I go, okay, I have done something. I have accomplished something. I do have a lot to bring to the table. So again, it's a small tactic, but it can be very helpful in getting over imposter syndrome. I continue to add to that. Okay, another obstacle is I'm too late to the party, or it's all been done before, right? There's nothing new under the sun is one of the thoughts people early in their business, I think, tend to have. Or if you're in business and are launching a new something, product or division or what have you, there's nothing new here. Who do I think I am to do this? But what do I have to bring to the table that hasn't been done a million times before? A quick story. I worked for Williams-Sonoma for a while, long time ago. In several different capacities. And Chuck Williams was very much there and available and in conversation while I was there. And Chuck said, you know, there are really only 5 recipes on the planet and everything else is a variation on a theme. And so if you're going to think that you have nothing new to cook, you're never going to cook because it has all been done before. But know that you're going to bring your own spin to this. He was from Mississippi. He's dead now, but he was from Mississippi, and he had the most appealing Southern drawl. Great. So everything has been done before. I think if you take that as a given, the thing that you want to focus on is it hasn't been done your way, right? You have your own spin. You have your own inflections. You have your own personality. You have your own areas of expertise. Those of you involved with storytelling, I'm sure there are probably only 7 stories out there, but everyone has their own inflection on it. So the thing to get comfortable around, again, the mindset issue is, again, understanding and embracing the fact that it has all been done before. It's the rare business that hasn't been thought of before, and it's the rare business that doesn't have competition. You will have competition. There will be other players out there. That's just a given. That's a mindset that you want to embrace. The thing to focus on is what makes you different, right? What is your personality going to put into play? How is your structure or your format of the way you present whatever it is going to be your own spin? Focus on the what you have to bring to the table that's going to differentiate you from all the other players out there, rather than focusing on the fact that you're 1 of 100. When I first started and got into business coaching here in the Bay Area, I think there are more business coaches per square foot here than anywhere else. That really intimidated me for the first couple months. But I think you attract the people that you need to attract. You want to attract, and not everybody's going to appeal to everybody else. So it may be that someone's doing business coaching very similar to the way I do, but not everybody's going to resonate with me. And some people are going to resonate with me, and those people will be my tribe and other people won't. So putting your own spin on things is what's going to differentiate you from everybody else on the planet who's doing the same thing. So another obstacle that comes up frequently is, and I'm guilty of this one, everyone's starting a podcast, I should too. So this is bright shiny object syndrome. This is where, and this can come up at any and all stages of business as well. When you look around at your competition or others and you feel are in the same, in your league, and they seem to be doing more, they seem to be doing more, accomplishing more, they seem to be doing different formats, they seem to be doing, you know, fill in the blank. They're doing podcasts. They're doing webinars. They're doing virtual techs, virtual summits. They're doing in-house, in-person events. If you choose to see what everyone else is doing, you can drown. And my suggestion to you is to just stop. If you've been in business for more than a year, you're probably doing just fine. And it doesn't serve you to be surveying the estate and to see what all your competition is doing. It will just intimidate you, and it will get in your way of doing what you strategically have decided to do for your business. Create a thoughtful, strategic, just for you strategic plan. I'm a big one on strategic planning, whether it's for 12 weeks or a quarter. I mean, that is quarter, you know, 1 quarter or 2 quarters. I don't suggest going too far out into a full year because there's too much that can vary, but make sure that you have a plan in place for your business and stick to it. Stick to what you plan to do for your business. What I do with clients is that we work out a 3-month or a 6-month plan, depending on how long they want to work with me. And then as they come up with new ideas, we add them to later quarters, so that they don't feel they have to let go of that creative idea. They can park it on a back burner until later, when we can take it up when there's more time in the schedule and the calendar to take on a new project. So bright shiny object syndrome is really, really typical in the online world because there's so much stuff, right? If one more person says to me, you know, everyone's on Snapchat or no one's using Snapchat and I'm not on Snapchat, I'm like, I'll never be on Snapchat and I don't care. You know, you have to be comfortable with what is going to create your business that you can get behind and remain true to. So that whole bright shiny object syndrome really gets in your way. So the mindset shift I suggest, and this is going to sound weird, but stop comparing yourself with others. Just stop. It's good to evaluate your competition to see what they're doing. how they're doing, learn from them. Certainly learn from them, but don't have it shake your confidence or shake your own vision of what you want to be doing. So my biggest advice is stop the comparison with others. Tactically, what you can do there is do things like unsubscribe from the millions of news, of course, not mine, millions of newsletters you get. If you have too much influence coming in, you're going to get splintered and scattered. And so I personally have focused on two or three gurus, business gurus or coaching gurus that I follow, because I trust their voice. I like their processes. And I don't even look at all the others. I'm no longer, you know, listening to thousands of webinars and signing up for courses and what have you. It's just a distraction and it makes me feel insecure. So the only thing to do about that is to create a strategy and stick to it and stop comparing yourself with your competition. It's not going to help you at all. So that's another obstacle that is easy to overcome. Anybody want to pop in with a comment or a question at this point, or do you want to wait? Wave your hand, and I can unmute you. Anybody? No? All right, maybe at the end. Look what I did here. Okay. Going back. All right. The next obstacle, which is a biggie when you're growing your business, is the only one who can do it is me. If you started your business by yourself, and most of us are solo entrepreneurs, you've done everything, right? You started out by doing absolutely everything from the tech issues to going out and buying a new toner for your toner cartridges to your printer to coming up with a strategy to creating your content. You do everything, and you're probably good at it or else you wouldn't still be in business. But the thing is, there's going to come a point in your growth, and frequently it's sooner rather than later, when you need to start letting go comfortably. And this is an area where most entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs, have a hard time, I've found, or this is one of the issues that they struggle with. So let's see. If most of the tactical work in your business is still being done by you, I want you to take a look at that. It's severely hampering your growth. So if you're still painting stripes on the road, you're putting your energy in the wrong place. At some point, you need to let go and train others to fill in for the majority of your functions so that you can act as a true CEO. This is a mindset shift that has to happen to women entrepreneurs if they're going to grow. They have to stop doing and start allowing other people to do for them so that they can sit in the strategic seat of being a CEO. This is a major transition for a lot of women. So what does that look like? I suggest by starting with planning CEO time in your calendar. I'm a big proponent of calendar blocking. And one of the blocks that I always have on my calendar is CEO time. And what I mean by that is I will allocate one afternoon a week or every 2 weeks or one full day a month where I'm not doing anything. I'm doing strategic planning. I'm taking a look at what's been, right? I take a look at my goals and my KPIs from the last month. How many new clients do I have? How many people on my email list? How many new customers do I have? I take a look at how the promotions I did last week and the last month did. So I take a look at the past, see how I'm doing versus goal. And I also take a look at strategically where I am in my 12-week or my 6-month plan. And I start making decisions. That webinar sucked. I'm not going to do it again. Let me try doing something different next time. Maybe I want to do in Q4, maybe I want to do something else, like a virtual class of some kind. Even as far as looking at your org chart and seeing if you're missing people, you know, you need more support in the admin area, or is your bookkeeper not doing what you want to be done? Saving the time on your calendar, just allow yourself to think like the CEO, is something that women entrepreneurs who are in growth mode don't do enough. It takes time and careful thought to plan your business. So factor in CEO time into your week or month and make sure that you are acting like a CEO. You may need, though, you know, this shift from doer to leader is not intuitive for many of us, for some of us. It might be that you do need a course in this, or you need some hand-holding, or you need some guidance on leadership training, because this is a whole new set of skills. When I worked at Constant Contact, another quick story, when I first started the job, the role was such that the whole territory was mine, and I was to be the customer-facing face of the business. As the business grew, as Constant Contact grew, I ultimately had 14 people underneath me that I was in charge of. So now I was really a leader for a team. And when this first came to be, I went to my boss and I said, you know, I'm terrible with employees. I've never really been a good manager. I'm not good at this. And he said, well, guess what? This is your job now. And today you have five, tomorrow you'll have 10 people. So you better get on board with how to do this. There was no internal training at the time. So I went out and took some leadership coaching from someone to help me grow into that new role. So it might mean that you need some help getting to this new CEO role where you're becoming a thinker and a strategist rather than a doer. And if that's the case, go read blogs, go take courses, go whatever you need to get into that next mindset of being the CEO and getting out of being the doer. Really, this is a big one for entrepreneurs who are on the way into growth, because that's a transition that's not easy for most of us to make. All right, next obstacle. Does that look familiar? Falling asleep on your laptop. Owning and running a business is not easy. We all know that. So especially times of transition, it's easy to run on all cylinders and work more than your normal work week and not pay attention to anything but your rapidly growing business. I'm sure we've all been through periods where you're just running on all cylinders. You're working 12-hour days, you're working through the weekends, you're just working like crazy. But you're going to burn out if you haven't already burnt out. And your family and your business are going to suffer. Again, I talked about the importance of knowing that your family's in this with you. Both you and your family and your business are going to suffer if you allow yourself to get to the exhaustion stage. And again, for most of us, we started the business because we have a passion. And that passion will take you so far, probably for the first year, until you start getting exhausted. And then you have to start acknowledging and making plans to not be exhausted. So before you get to that stage, again, I'm going to go back to calendar blocking. It's important to build self-care into your calendar. And that self-care is going to look different for everybody. Whether that's, you know, going to have a mani-pedi or going for a walk in the woods or going to yoga classes or meeting with friends for lunch or binge watching on Netflix for 24 hours straight, whatever it is that gets you away from your business and at the end of which you feel refreshed is something that you have to, as an entrepreneur and a CEO, build into your business. Because if not, you're going to suffer, your business will suffer, and your family will suffer. So make it also, if you schedule time, don't make that don't make the first thing that gets dumped. So if you've scheduled a yoga class for Friday at four, don't skip it. Don't make all this self-care the first thing to get X'd out of your schedule. This has to be a non-negotiable so that you don't get exhausted. So the mindset shift I'm going to suggest is that you give yourself permission to take care of yourself. It's a non-negotiable, because who's the most important person in your business? It's you, because you're running it. So make sure you take care of yourself. So the tactics, define your weekly or daily self-care practice and put it on your calendar to make sure it happens. I had to do this recently. I had it become a non-negotiable recently because I was just spinning too many plates in the air, all of which I was excited about, but I definitely have been through periods of burnout. So I don't work Friday afternoons, period. I mean, from 12 o'clock on, you will not find me. I don't answer my phone. I don't check my emails. I don't do anything. And I do play things, whether that's retail therapy or whatever it is, it's, I do play things Friday afternoon. That makes me feel refreshed. I don't work at all on Saturdays. I want one whole day where I'm not looking at a screen. I don't check email. I don't do anything that might smell of work. So I get myself a full day and a half to withdraw from it so I can come back Sunday or Monday and be refreshed. So whatever it is that keeps you, that refreshes you, make sure that's on your calendar before you do burn out. So here's another obstacle. My to-do list is killing me. I hear this so many times from people I'm working with, that their to-do list is that long and it's going to be the death of them. So the common thread that I think I've seen by working with entrepreneurs in all levels of their business is they tend, as they grow and get more revenue coming in, they tend to overcomplicate things. And so if they're already doing one thing, tack on something else, or two more things or three more things, because it's been successful before, I know I can just get bigger and better. And that creates chaos if you don't have an organizational structure in place so that you're not killing yourself. One of the things that I find I end up doing with new clients a lot is that after we've talked about what's going on in their business, one of the main roles that I play is to help them keep it simple, sweetie, that KISS principle, where we try to pare down what they're doing in their business to the things that are mainly earning them revenue, and for now, get rid of all the rest of it that's just clouding their ability to head strong into a revenue-creating direction. And so I tend to help people simplify before we get on to new strategies for getting bigger and better, bigger and more. So think about the KISS principle with your business and see if you can't simplify too. Again, have a strategic plan and stick with it. You're going to work with the next 3 or 6 months in advance. Don't deviate. We talked about not letting bright, shiny objects get in tucking themselves into your calendar. Stick with your plan, nose to the grindstone, and make sure that you're keeping it simple so that you don't get killed by your to-do list. Don't build out another activity until the ones already in place are smooth as silk. So Deb, you just created a course. I would think that when you could do the course again, I'm assuming you're going to do the course again. If you do the course again, you'll think back on what didn't go well this time, or how overcomplicated it might have been, and you'll do a better job next time because you're going to simplify, clarify, make sure that you know the best way to be successful and get rid of all the fluff around it. But that's going to set you up for success the next time because you've cleared out all the clutter and you know how to succeed with it. So that's going to be true of anything, everything. Keep it simple. So one of the mindset shifts that has to happen around this my to-do list is killing me obstacle is we get used to chaos, right? In the first year or so of your business, you're working like crazy. And as you start to hit that Gordian knot ceiling where suddenly it's all very complicated and you're stuck, you get used to a certain level of stress. And there might even be a certain level of pride in that you can cope with all this, right? I see that in a lot of women entrepreneurs where they're proud about how busy they can be. Don't make that level of stress acceptable. Don't tolerate that because you're just setting yourself up for failure and burnout. So don't get used to chaos. Take a step back and make sure that you're doing what you can do to de-chaos your business and make sure you are keeping it simple. Tactically, if you find your own to-dos are getting out of hand, stop and reevaluate. Are you doing more than you initially planned for in your strategy? Has there been strategy slippage where you're starting to do more? Take a step back and take a good look. Use those CEO days to reevaluate where you are in your strategy. Are you staying on point or are you deviating? Are you doing more than you initially planned in your strategy? Do you have the right staff or support team or enough or any support team? Is this a time where you want to start thinking about bringing people in to help you so you don't start getting used to the chaos? Are you getting the job done, right? Are you being the CEO that you want to be? Are you getting it done? Again, those CEO planning times, you should be self critical as well. Are you doing the job that you need to be doing to be the CEO of a company, or are you still in doing mode? Do your people who are helping you, do they know what they should be doing? And are they doing it, right? Are you managing your people well enough? Last thing about the to-do list, and specifically, and this is a seminar I used to run, which I really enjoyed, which is how to organize your to-do list. This is called the 4 D's. And what I recommend to anybody who's got death by to-do list coming up is do a brain dump of everything that's on your plate right now. What's waking you up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whether it's cleaning out the refrigerator, as I said before, or, you know, doing a presentation, or you've got to have an employee come to Jesus meeting, whatever is on your to-do list or is keeping you up, get it out of your head and get it on paper so that your to-do list is that and more. Get everything out. It's just kind of vacuuming your brain. So do that brain dump. The second is the second process here is the 4 D's. And the 4 D's are do, delegate, defer, or delete. So with each line item on that to-do list, do it, meaning you're going to assign a date and a time and you will get it done, period. So do it. Or delegate it. Find someone who can do that for you, whether it's someone else to clean out the refrigerator or someone else to create that presentation you're going to do next month or someone else to pull together numbers for your reports. Delegate where you can. If there's no one to delegate to and your to-do list is looking like this, this might be the perfect time to bring in some contract help or a VA or what have you. So that's delegate. Look for places where you can delegate and be creative. Defer. Does everything on that list have to be done now? I think in the process of that mind brain dump, you'll find there's lots of stuff that you can look at that could easily be done next week or next month or next year. It doesn't have to be done now. So take a good hard look at that. And the last D is delete. Does everything have to get done, right? If you're a perfectionist, you're going to say yes, but I'd encourage you to look brutally at that to-do list and think about the things that don't have to be there. And once you scratch them off, get them out of your brain. So that 4 D's can help a lot with that. The 4 D's of dealing with your to-do list can go a long way in helping you get more organized and out of chaos. And you don't want to live in chaos ever. It's just going to burn you out. All right. So the next obstacle. I know where I want to go, but I don't know how to get there. So this is spinning. I do this so well. I don't do this as much as I used to, but if there are too many things rattling around in my brain, if there are too many thoughts, if there are too many creative ideas that I have, if there are too many to-dos going on, what I do is I spin. And I can sit in front of my computer for hours thinking I'm being productive and I don't get anything done. I don't know if that resonates with any of you guys, but Debbie's nodding, MB's nodding, yeah. So spinning means something's not working and you need to get beyond that or you're just going to get stuck in that staring at the computer, I should be doing something and doing a lot of activity but not getting anything done. So the best thing I can say is this is you need to get out of your own head. So this is many women entrepreneurs I work with and talk to. We all share this same disease of being isolated, right? And you not just physically isolated, but you only have your own brain to help you solve problems. So the solution to this is to look outside yourself for support and direction and new ideas. You can't possibly know everything. So think about joining a mastermind, and I'm starting one in September if anybody's interested. Join a mastermind or a group coaching program. Seek out a paid program, and I encourage you to do that because when there's money, when there's skin in the game, you get more out of it. Or if nothing else, for both mastermind and a group coaching program, you want to make sure that you're involved with other people who are going to challenge you and make sure that you help you get out of your own head. If you can't find one, create one yourself. If be sure that you're a bit outside your comfort zone when you start building your tribe. So earlier you said this is a great group of women. This would be a great group of women to create a mastermind around. We need to stop thinking in our own little birdcage. You know, we need to start getting other people's influences in. Deb, you and I are in a mastermind together. And when I look back on what we were talking about in January as a group versus what we're doing in our businesses now, it's mind-blowing. And a lot of it is because we've been able to share other people, get other people's point of views and suggestions and input on how to get out of your own head and get new ideas in. It's an amazing experience to be able to build a tribe or participate a tribe and see how far your business goes from where you started. So find a mastermind. Find a business coach, even for a short period of time, 6 weeks, 3 months, whatever, that's going to catch you out of your head so you can start considering new ideas. So the mindset shift is to recognize when you're in a period like this, I don't know where I want to go, but I know where I want to go, but I don't know how to get there. That tells me that you're spinning, and recognize it. The earlier you can recognize it, the more likely you are to catch it and start moving through that. Get out of your head by recognizing it. And the second is to build a tribe or find a tribe to support you, whether it is, as I said, as a mastermind or group coaching or MB, you've got a group of women that you meet with. Women Who Kick Butt is the name of your group. So you get together once a month or so, heavy. Find your tribe that will help you and stimulate you to get outside your own head so you can grow and not keep spinning on your little hamster wheel. If you stay behind your computer, you'll stay on that hamster wheel and don't do it. So here's another obstacle. Is this my last one? Yeah, this is my last one. And this one I hear a lot. The reason I'm not growing because my business is cut, I don't have any money. And this sounds like a tangible, right? If you don't have money, you don't have money. But I think there's a lot of creativity that can take you a lot further than your wallet can. So the suggestions that I always give to people who are telling me they don't have money is to start. It takes some money to start a business. And I'll say that 82% of the businesses who fail do because of poor cash flow. So it does take money to run a business. But with anybody who's screaming, I don't have any money, my feeling is always, are you starting by looking for what's free? Because there's so much free content out there now. There are so many platforms that we can participate that have a 2-week or a 4-week trial period. Start where you can find free either content or applications or information. Start where it's free and then grow from there. But don't overlook the free part. If you really do need money, friends and family for small loans, and the caveat there is if you're involving family, it gets very convoluted and can get very sticky, so be careful. If you do need money, credit cards are an option. Be careful there. I've certainly gotten myself into lots of trouble with credit cards, but if you need to use them, that's an option. The SBA, I'm an SBA advisor, and so I don't know how many people are aware that the SBA is there to give small businesses loans. And so the SBA is an incredible source of funding if you do need money. In fact, the SBA, URL is right there. There are so many resources that the SBA has available and the SBDC. If you haven't checked those out, please do, because they're there. But they're certainly there to grant money to small businesses. Credit unions, small business friendly banks. So when I was looking for a line of credit for my business 2 businesses ago, and it was a pretty substantial line of credit I was looking for, none of the majors would talk to me. The B of A wouldn't talk to me. You know, the majors were just like, thank you very much, goodbye, you're too small. But the smaller banks are hungry for your business. And I developed a wonderful relationship with a local bank here who was very business friendly. So if you do need an influx of capital, seriously, then check out smaller business-friendly banks rather than the majors, which is where you might do your personal checking, your personal banking. And if all else fails, find a part-time job, start contracting, go back to a full-time job while you build your business. There's no shame in working for someone else while you build your business. You know, I think when I was in my early stages of being an entrepreneur, to me, the worst thing I could possibly do would be to go back to corporate, right? Oh my God, I'll have to go back to corporate if this doesn't work out. Well, you know what? That's not the kiss of death. You know, getting a part-time job, going back to a corporate environment might be what's going to give you stability, both emotionally and financially, to allow you the mind space to completely develop this business. So that's not the be-all and end-all. Also, contracting or freelancing, either one of those things are terrific ways to bring money in addition to or while you are building a standalone business. I know I've done that many times. So not having money isn't a real obstacle. It can't be overcome. It can be overcome. So here are the recaps. That's a lot that we went through today, and I'm wondering, and I'll stop this in a second, and we can do some sharing, but I wonder how many resonated with you guys and what's coming up. We'll talk about that in a second, but think of all of those eight, and let's think about what we want to talk about next. So when I said, think of things being barriers, not walls, all of these obstacles are figure outable, right? That's been my whole MO as long as I've been an entrepreneur. No matter how big the challenge has been, I can figure it out. It might take help, it might take money, but I can figure it out. And one of the lessons I learned too with my third business was there is a time that you need to walk away. Right, so I spent a year and a half building Aging with Attitude. MB, do you remember that? That was a business that was about women of a certain age and how to plan on the next chapter of your life. I spent a year and a half building it. I had a lot of followers. I had a huge email list, but no one was buying anything from me. And since I'm in business to make money, doesn't matter how long I was in business, it was time to fold it and move on. So nothing is insurmountable unless you decide it's time to turn the page. But whatever obstacles come up, dig in, deal with it, and put a plan into place so you can get beyond the obstacle and to the solution period, which is more to the point. So let me get off of this in a second. Think about, we're going to share in a minute, what's the one thing out of those eight that's really right, resonating with you so that you can talk about that in a second. So what brought you here today? Are you facing obstacles that you find are insurmountable? Are you in a state of constant whirlwind with your business? Are you frozen? That spinning state for me is when I'm frozen. And do you not know how to put one foot in front of the other and move on? So if any of those are true, if I can help any of you, right, I'm a business coach and I love working to help people get out of the knots that they created or help them get to the next stage of their business. So I want to invite all of you, if you haven't done it before, to call me for a discovery session and let's just talk about where you are in your business and how I might be able to help you. So the call can be scheduled with my spiffy little online calendar. If you want to set up an appointment to talk to me, let's just pick a time. I'd be happy to walk through where you are in your business and let's see if there is an area where I can help you get unstuck with your growth. So I'm going to go ahead there and I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Stop share. And here we are. So I want to ask you guys, there's a chat message here and it says, right here. There you go. And Karen Rice, you're here. Hello, Karen Rice. Glad that you're here. You're on mute and no video. Hi, Karen. Glad you're here. So we've talked a lot. I think I have, if I haven't unmuted you, please unmute yourself. Unmute yourselves. I can't do it now. But I'd love to hear what of the eight resonated with you. What do you feel is keeping you stuck? And what do you want to just toss out there to talk about? We have 5 or 10 minutes or so to talk about this. Who wants to go first?
Hi, Elise. It's Ranjini.
Ranjini, tell me what's the obstacle that resonates with you?
I loved everything. And the most, the thing that I really liked was how you've said that everything has been done before. And What am I doing here? As in the quintessential purpose of your existence on this earth. I like that a lot because it's always about when I do content strategy or brand building or any of that, I always try to tell companies everything that has been said and done in this world. It's all been said before. It's all been done before. But what we're trying to do here is see what sets you apart from your competition.
Right. Right.
It's so easy to say that to somebody else when you're building their brand. And when you're trying to build your business, those stories unfortunately don't come out, but it was like a...
So that one resonated with you. Moment. That's great. Thanks, Ranjini. Thanks. Who else wants to offer something up that resonated with you? I'm going to start calling on you people.
I'll offer something. This is Ashley.
Hey, Ashley.
What resonated the most with me was the first one. Who am I to be doing this
that
thing?
That is a biggie, isn't it? That's a biggie.
It is, and I find that I have, it comes and goes. It ebbs and flows.
Yep.
There are times where I'm like, yes, this is great. I'm doing a great job. People are connecting with me. This is wonderful. And then other times where I'm like, oh, geez, all these, like you said, all my competitors look really polished and they've been in business for years and they already have the following and the research and feeling like I, as an individual, don't have some of the credibility that these other people have, but then also that my business, because it's so new, doesn't have the established credibility as well. Yeah. And that feels very intimidating.
Often. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So think about those tactics I gave you. Start that document about all the things you've done well.
Yes.
You know, it makes you feel better. And for me, the biggest help is always I am where I am. You know, it's just a permission to be where you are and not feel uncomfortable about it at all. And the biggest thing also is stop looking at your competition because they've been in business longer than you have or they've got more money behind them or whatever. Stop that. That's the thing that gets you stuck. So don't do that. Yeah, that's probably my biggest one too, I have to admit. Thanks, Ashley. Who else wants to jump in with a comment? We've got a few minutes left on what resonates with them.
So I'll jump in. Mine's the variation of the to-do list. It's not that I have too long a to-do list. It's that I make my to-do list too long by chasing bright, shiny objects.
Yeah.
So I do a kind of a combination of the two, maybe. And I, in fact, it kind of popped into my head at the beginning of May, I think, where I did sit down and do myself at least a monthly plan because I wanted to get the website launched.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting distracted by so many other things. And I finally sat down and put on my project management hat.
Yes.
And got my resources lined up.
Yeah.
Got my photographer, got my web designer, got everybody I needed. And I have a soft launch today, as you saw.
Yeah.
Soft launch on the website today. So proof to note to self, that actually does work.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'll stick with that.
So, Amby, one of the things I want to share too is that I'm sure we all have used with project management software of some kind, Basecamp or Trello or Asana. I use Asana just for me, right? And my team, I have a copywriter that I work with and I now have a social media manager, but it's mostly for me so that I can get all this stuff out of my head. And instead of doing a to-do list, I set up projects and tactics and deadlines.
Absolutely.
And I know at a glance in a week what's coming up and what I have to do. It has been a lifesaver for me. The other thing I want to say, MB, is that you are one of those insanely creative people. And you will always have thousands of ideas in your head, right? And so your challenge is always doing just that, parsing out how, you know, isolating the ones that are going to be the most productive and then getting them done. Because there's always 10 more things that you can think of that are even more exciting.
And
so
I've just started an ideas folder in
perfect.
Evernote, and that's where my ideas go, and they sit there until I'm ready to implement it. If it's not on the project plan, it's like I've said to Renee for years when we go grocery shopping, if it's not on the list,
right. But that's perfect because then you don't feel like you're losing it, right? If I don't do something, this idea now, I'm going to lose it. If you write it down for a future, then you're not losing it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And then I can look back and go, oh, that was a great idea, or what was I thinking? You
know? Right, exactly. Right. Thanks, MV. That's great. Who else? Deb, Karen, anybody else want to jump in?
Well, I think my thing is the do-it-yourself syndrome.
Oh,
because I create the guides. I create the content. I work directly with the people, so they're my ideas.
So it is kind of difficult to transfer that.
Right. So how are you doing with that transformation of becoming the CEO in your business as opposed to the doer?
I'm not.
You're not.
What I could do, though, is hire a graphic artist. Because, see, I do the graphics, too. I do the InDesign, the Photoshop, everything.
Well, I was very proud of you that you've offloaded your podcast editing. I thought, bully on you. So, I mean, good for you. So that was fantastic and very un-Deb-like. So congratulations for doing that. Yeah, yeah. So think of that in terms of other things that you do. You shouldn't be doing the graphic designs, right? You shouldn't be writing your own copy if you can help it. There are other things.
I kind of need to write my own copy, but it's just.
But the designs, you don't need to be doing the designs, right? You can get that.
I could.
Yeah. Yeah. So think about finding someone on Upwork and toss them or several people a couple of projects that are small and you can test them to see if there's someone that you would want to work with. That's how I usually approach it.
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay. I'll call you in 2 weeks and see how we're doing.
You know where I live. I can't.
I do. You can't hide from me. Anybody else want to share? Karen, I haven't heard from you. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Mrs. Rice, tell us.
Well, you all are just doing so many amazing things. It's awesome to hear and very motivating. I am the reluctant warrior, as you well know.
Yes.
I have battled with this forever.
Karen, you didn't introduce yourself. Tell us just a quickie on what you're doing now, because it's so exciting.
What I do, I am a mind-body coach, speaker, and nutritionist, and I am really wanting to bring wellness to the corporate world, which is what I left after driving myself literally into the ground. And I know everybody wants it out there, but no one can figure out how to do it, and they want to do it all in one magic pill. Right? Nobody wants to take it step by step. So I'm introducing a whole system that is super simple, and it's really a cyclical, just take one baby step at a time. And
so exciting.
Get used to that, make it habit, and then take another baby step. What I'm trying to do is bring that to the corporate world in that I'd like to be a consultant to them and help them make the connection between the wellness program that they currently offer, which most corporations do, but most employees don't engage in it. They just take the money and put it toward maybe a class they're taking, right?
Or
they
interesting, okay.
But they're not really benefiting, and most executives don't understand what it brings to their bottom line. So I put together information about how it really can improve bottom line, all those good things. And now I am the reluctant warrior to network and get out to talk to the people I know and love who probably could introduce me to people who really do want to bring this to the world.
Yep.
So
the obstacle that you're facing is shyness, or what would you say? You're not shy.
That's very sweet. I think it's more of the imposter. Will anybody really want this? How do I help them to understand that, because they do really want it, how do I get them to understand this is what they want? They're go with it. Try it. Try me. Try having me speak for them. And I just did a speech for about 250 people at Workday. They loved it, but because I already teach there, the folks that I work with teaching were like, no, can't talk to her. She works through us, which put a barrier up.
But didn't that speaking engagement give you confidence?
Oh, definitely. And remembering that energy and that excitement that was generated, absolutely. Now, it's really, truly taking that step out. I can easily break the contract with the organization I was working with. So what's keeping me from doing that and making connections on the corporate side? Fear.
Okay, so I'm not usually this salesy, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have a 6-week program that I should be renaming called Get It Out of Your Head and Into the Marketplace. By the end of 6 weeks, we'll have you earning your first dollars. Frequently what happens with women like you, Karen, and the gal I'm working with now, Kate, is that they are perfectly capable of putting together a fabulous business. They are perfectly capable. And what's keeping them from doing that is the fear. And what I've found with working with people who are stuck in that situation is that the more they do it, the more the fear subsides. And so the more you can find places that will allow you to teach even for free, just do it. The doing alleviates the fear. Just getting your motor running, getting the momentum going is the best thing for getting over the imposter syndrome. If you sit in front of your computer or at home or on your walks and you're rattling around in your own head, you just get stuck in that imposter syndrome. So get out into the marketplace, Karen, and do your thing. Do it.
I'm with you. I totally agree. And I think that as you said, I thought this is a classic line as a coach. I am the most motivational, inspirational. I love seeing people go and do. And then when it turned around on me, what is it about us?
Yeah, isn't it? Deb goes, yeah, it's true. It's amazing. So just to tie this up a little bit, I'm going to get back to you all. We've recorded this and all of our chit-chat. I'm going to upload the recording to Dropbox and send you all a link so you can listen to it again if you'd like to. Ranjini just asked me that she, who has that? Yeah, Ranjini just asked me if she could get in contact with everybody. So if you're all okay, I will send out an email with all of your email addresses on it so you can connect. Does that sound like a plan? Does anybody not want me to do that? Raise your hand or say something? I'm not hearing anything. So I'm going to do that so you can all connect. And so I'll also send you a follow-up email with some brilliant thoughts on my part. I don't know what, but I'll send you a follow-up email. I'm going to be starting a mastermind in September. This is what my masterminds look like. They're more structured. There's more accountability. But this is how I roll. And I think that the more fabulous women work together, the more we get more done within our own businesses. So you're all on my email list, so watch for more information from me on that. I would love to have a group like this in a mastermind together so that we can do the kind of sharing that we did today. So that's it for me, kids. Thank you. I'll be doing another webinar of some kind in July. Oh, I know what it's going to be, but you'll get an email on that too. But I'm going to do a webinar every month that feels just like this. So I hope you'll join me next time. Anything else? We're done?
Thank you so much. This was super helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay. Good, good. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.